Morning, everyone. Okay, so some of you guys that were looking up just saw that I'm wearing a kilt. And I just want to explain for those of you that haven't seen me speak before. Every time I come up here, I want to wear something from another country. Just to remind us that a lot of us here, we're from all parts of the world. And it's easy for us to assume that we know something about that country or about that person just by looking at them. But one way to love each other more is to find out more about who we are so that we're able to love each other in a way that, you know, that's more sometimes culturally appropriate. We want to, in this place, in our church, we want to be able to understand one another more. And also we want to understand Taipei more so that we're able to share God's love with Taipei. So that's my hope. That's why I'm wearing this. If you want to come up and say something to me like, you know, hey, that's really cool, I saw the dagger in your socks, I want to ask you guys to refrain from coming to me and telling me how cool it is and stuff. But rather, I hope that you guys could go and seek someone else that maybe you don't know too much about, maybe about their culture, about their background, about their story, and just find out a little bit more about that person. Maybe it might be someone that you've already met for a while, but you just don't know much about them. So that's what I want to encourage us to do. One thing. Every time I do wear something, and especially if it's something that is suggested to me, I learn something more about that culture. For example, our elder David, as he was helping me put on this kilt because I had no idea how to put it on, he was sharing with me about where he lived, where he came from, and it's near Loch Ness, where the Loch Ness monster comes from. I never knew this, but the word Loch Ness, the word Loch, you're supposed to put a sound in there, the word Loch actually means lake, and Ness is the name of the lake, so they call it Loch Ness, right? Yeah, anyways. The word of the Lord today comes from Psalm 111. Psalm 111, and this is the reading of God's word. Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, the company of the upright and the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praises endure forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And God, we just want to acknowledge that you are the great and mighty God. Lord, your praises are going up to you from all over the world. As each hour passes by, a new part of the world is waking up and going to their churches to praise you. Lord, you are worthy of all praise. And Lord, as we look to your word now, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the people here. And Lord, may you be glorified and magnified through this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Recently, I received a message through LINE from a friend that's from our church. And this friend shared with me about how this person is going through some struggles. And the question that was asked at the end of the message was, how do I keep my faith? How do I deal with my unbelief was the question that this person asked. But the idea is, how do I hold on to my faith? Now, this is a question that I think is applicable for both the difficult times that we go through, but also for those times when we're joyous and happy. Because when we're going through difficult times, it's easy for us to forget about God. But also through the good times, it's easy for us to forget about God. And so I think this question is applicable for all of us here. Whether you're not a believer whether you're a recent believer or whether you've been a believer for a long time. How do we hold on to our faith? And the three points that I want to share with us today is, number one, you have to know God. You have to fill your mind with the knowledge of God. Number two, you have to remember what God has done. You have to remember how God has worked in our lives and throughout history. And number three, you have to believe who God is and what He has done. So again, number one, you got to receive the knowledge of God. You have to know who God is. Number two, you have to remember. And number three, you have to believe in it. Well, let's dive right into it. At the very beginning, it says, praise the Lord. And I want to share with you guys, this word praise the Lord in the original language, Hebrew, is the word hallelujah. And hallelujah, this word, if you guys don't know, it actually means praise the Lord, like a command. Like I'm telling you, you praise the Lord. I'm telling you to praise the Lord. So when you use the word hallelujah, it's not like, hey, you know, the weather's great today, isn't it? Yeah, hallelujah. It's not like that. That's not how it's supposed to be used. I mean, that's kind of how we use it today. But originally, the way you're supposed to use it is you're supposed to look at someone and say, I want you to praise the Lord. Hallelujah is praise, and Yah is the word for Yahweh. So praise the Lord. Now, this psalm starts off with, praise the Lord, everyone. I'm going to share with you what's on my heart. And this psalm is a poem. And so the way that it's written is that every single phrase starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet from, if we could say it in English, A to Z. Right? So for example, it's kind of like, just an example, A, alligators are cool. B, because, let me start over. Alligators are scary. B, because they have teeth. C, because they have tails. I don't know. So that's how the psalm is written, okay? The first point is you have to know who God is. You have to fill your mind with the knowledge of God. And knowing God is not just about filling your mind with knowledge, but it's actually studying. It's actually trying to understand what's going on. Okay, so what does it say in verse 1? Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Studied by all who delight in them. Okay, so I want to focus on this. If we have to fill our minds and study who God is, how do we do that? How do we do that? Number one, well, I'm not going to list it out. One of the ways that we could do that is by reading God's Word. Now, I want to remind us that I'm not saying read God's Word because now you're a Christian and this is one of the things you have to do. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is if we believe what God has done for me, if I believe what God has done for me and I'm thankful, and I understand His love for me, then I want to know who my God is. I want to know who my God is. I want to understand more of who He is. That's what I was sharing with us. You know, if you don't understand a person, if you don't know about their background, get to know who they are. That's a way of showing them love, right? If you love God, get to know who He is. And again, one of the ways of doing that is reading the Bible. Another way is going out to one of the community groups. Because in our community groups, we're able to learn about God's Word together. And we're able to share with one another how the Word is impacting us. Right? We're able to grow together through God's Word. So, look and fill your minds. Look at the Word of God and fill your minds with the things about who He is. Number two. Not only do we need to fill our minds and know who our God is, but number two, we need to remember, recount. And most of this psalm is about recounting who God is. Okay? So this is really important. So if we go on in the passage, it says, Verse 3, full of splendor and majesty is his work. Okay, what has God done? Well, it's full of majesty in his work. I'm going to introduce to you that I'm going to talk about God's work. That's what the psalmist is saying here. And his righteousness endures forever. Verse 4, he has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Right here, he starts to remember some of the things from the past. Okay, now, here, if you don't have a knowledge of the Old Testament, then it's going to be difficult for you to understand what's going on here. It's kind of like, you know, some of us, we know each other pretty well, and we have inside jokes, right? So, for example, I know of someone among us here. Actually, the person went back home, but it's okay. This person says that one of the bad habits from when they were young is that they would only take one shower a day. Okay, this doesn't make sense to most of us because you take one shower a day, or you take a shower every other day or something, right? But for this person, they were taught to take two showers a day, but a bad habit for this person was to only take one shower a day. Okay. Only some of you guys understand what I'm talking about, right? And I'm not just talking about the people that take two showers a day, but people that were there that was part of the conversation. You guys understand? Same thing here. If you don't know what happened in the Old Testament, then you won't understand what's going on. It says in verse 4, the Lord is gracious and merciful. If you were in the Old Testament time and you were reading this, then boom, something would pop into your mind right away. And what is it? It's the time when God appeared to Moses. God showed his glory to Moses. Moses was like, God, if you're going to send me to Egypt, then I want you to come with me. And God says, okay, but let me show you my love for you. Let me show you who I am. And he shows Moses his glory. And as he shows his glory, he declares who he is. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he says all of this stuff about who he is. This comes from Exodus, right? And so he has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Boom! Remember God, who he declared he was? Remember when he showed himself to Moses with all his glory? Remember that? Wasn't that an awesome time? Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. And remember when God led the people through the desert? And they were complaining and everything, but then God provided them with food like a miracle. Food appeared out of the dew of the air, and they called it manna. Remember that? Remember how God provided for the people? That as they walked through the desert for 40 years, their sandals didn't wear out? Remember that? Remember how God provided? He remembers his covenant forever. Verse 6, he has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. Remember God's power? Remember how he led them into the promised land and they were able to conquer so many nations? Remember Jericho? How they didn't really do anything? They just marched around the building, the town, how they marched around and the walls fell down. Remember that? God is powerful. He gave them the victory. Remember? Verse 8, they are established forever and ever to be performed. Sorry, verse 7. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. We'll stop right here. And remember how God provided the law to his people. Remember how Moses went up Mount Sinai. Remember how on Mount Sinai there was all this like thunder and lightning, and it seemed like it's just so scary. And people didn't want to go up, so they just said, Moses, you go up for us. Remember that? Remember how God showed himself so powerful and how he gave us his law so that we know how to be his people? Let's stop right here. If you read God's word, then you know who God is. If you study God's word, then you understand who God is. You understand His character. You understand His power. You understand His love and His grace. You understand that He's a just God. You understand that He hates sin. You understand that He's a righteous God if you read and study about God in His Word. But another benefit is that if we read God's Word, it helps us to understand this world today. It gives us an understanding of how to sift all the experiences that we have in our lives, how to sift all of it so that we understand it from God's point of view. Okay, so all of us have gone through all different kinds of experiences, and for some reason, you are sitting here today. And what that means is that somehow God has worked in your life as well. I know God has worked in my life, but something that we don't do is we don't look back. We don't remember how God has worked in our lives. Like for me, I remember there's a time when I was in Brazil. And I don't know if, I know there's a Brazilian brother and sister that comes to our church. I don't know if they're among us today, but I don't know if you know this song. I remember when I was in Brazil, and it was kind of, the sun was going down. I had my guitar, and a Brazilian friend was teaching me a praise song. And the song went something like, Ao rei dos reis consagro tudo o que sou. And then the chorus part goes, Celebrarei a ti, o Deus, com meu viver. Cantarei e contarei as tuas obras. What it's saying is, God, I want to give myself to you. Lord, you are the creator of heaven and earth. And I want to celebrate all the earth and all creation celebrates you because you are the creator God. And I remember at that time, and as I was learning this song and I was singing this song of how powerful God, of how He was working in my heart, just to remind me that He is God and I need to live for Him. I remember that time. Another time that I remember is just in the quietness of my room when I was in high school. I was reading through God's Word, and I came to Romans chapter 8, verse 28 for the very first time. And it says, And I know that in all things that God is working for the good of those who love Him. God works everything for good according to His purpose. And I remember sitting there at my table, just as a high school kid, but crying, shedding tears, because that Word spoke to me. God's Word spoke to me. Do you have moments like that in your life? I'm sure you do. Otherwise, why would you be here today? How has God worked in your life? Look back on it. Think about that again. Remember how God has worked in your life. And for some of us, we might be here saying, you know, I don't know. I don't know if God really worked in my life. Well, if that's you, then I want to ask you to go back to our point number one, which is study. Look back at the different experiences in your life and think about how has God worked in those places? Because God definitely has. Again, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here today. God has. So I want to ask you, how has God worked in your lives? Remember. Remember, and when you do remember how God has worked in your life, then that will bring back praises to the Lord. Again, I want to emphasize, though, that not all experiences can be interpreted as a thing from God. Okay, sometimes it is because it's out of our own selfishness. Sometimes we act in a certain way because of our own pride. But that's why point number one is so important. Get to know who God is. Get to know how God works in people's lives. Then you will be able to better interpret how God is working in your own life. So God works, and His works are great. We just need to remember. Now let's go back to the passage. Let's start in verse 7 again. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. Okay. It says here they are to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. How many of us can sit here and raise your hand and say, yes, I have kept God's law with faithfulness and uprightness? None of us. None of us. But it says here, God's laws are trustworthy. His precepts are trustworthy, and they are to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. Now, if we think back about to the Israelites and how they were in the Old Testament, what happened with them? Basically, they didn't keep God's law. They weren't faithful. They didn't keep his law with uprightness. Rather, they sinned and sinned and sinned against God. What about us? We can't look down on the Israelites. We're in the same boat. We call ourselves Christian, but we ourselves fall into sin over and over and over again. And if you don't think you have sin, if you think you don't have sin, then that's probably a sin right there. In the sense that that shows the pride of your own heart, thinking that I'm good enough now. Right? Even if we don't do things outwardly, there are sins in our own hearts. We're in the same boat. We are all sinners. But that's why this next verse is so important and it's so wonderful. In verse 9 it says, he sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Okay? He sent redemption to his people. He saved the Israelites. But not only that, he had in mind all the peoples of the world. So what did he do? He sent his son Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to this earth many, many years ago. And he lived on this earth. He actually came to this earth. And he lived a perfect life for us. Not only did he live a perfect life, but he died on the cross in obedience to the Father. He died on the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins, for your sins, so that we can have a relationship with God again, so that we could be reconciled with God again. He died on the cross, but not only that, he rose again on the third day. Jesus Christ is alive today, and he gained the victory over sin. He gained the victory over death. And this is the good news, that we're able to have a relationship with our God. Even though we sin against him, we are able to have a relationship with God, not because of anything we have done, but because of everything that God has done for us. How great is his work? Remember that. How awesome his deeds. And so the psalmist in verse 9, he says, holy and awesome is his name. There is none like our Lord. Now, as I've shared this with us, a big question that I want to ask is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Again, our points. You know, how do we keep our faith in bad times and in good times? How do we keep our faith? Number one, know who God is. Number two, remember how God has worked in our lives. And number three, believe. And this is applicable not just for the non-believers among us, but this is applicable for even the maturest of believers. Because it's easy for us to forget who God is. And even if we do remember who God is, it's difficult for us to believe in God. Let me say it a little bit differently. In the Greek, in the original language in the New Testament, the word believe has the same root. Actually, it's the same word as the word for trust. So when I say believe, yes, I mean believe, but I also mean trust in God. Trust. So let me ask it again. Do you trust in God? Do you believe who God is? Do you believe that your sins are forgiven? If yes, and you're thankful for that forgiveness, then why are you not able to forgive that person that has wronged you? Do you believe that God cares for you, that you are His child? That once you started this relationship with Him, that He really cares for you? If you do, then why are you still worrying about your future, about your next plans? Why? Jesus says, don't worry. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. Don't worry about tomorrow, right? That's what Jesus says. So do you believe that God really cares for you? Do you believe that God is a powerful God? That He has the ability to heal and to make things right in your life? That even through the difficult times in our lives, that God is still working? Do you believe this? Then why, when you go through difficult times, do you doubt God? It's easy to say that we believe in God. But do we? And if you don't, it's okay, because there is enough grace from our Lord God. God is able to even forgive and heal and grow us from our doubts and unbelief. Well, let's talk about these three points a little bit. Number one, know God. Study about God and know who He is. Understand His character. Understand who our God is. Number two, remember. Number three, believe. But what if you took out one of these points? Right? Say you didn't study who God was. Say you didn't know who God was. But you're kind of recounting all the spiritual things that happened in your life, all the ways that you think God is working, but you don't really know who God is because you don't know His word. Right? Take out point number one. You only have point number two and point number three. All you're remembering is the cool experiences, the wonderful spiritual experiences, and you're believing in that. But you don't really know who God is. And once you run into a difficult time, you don't know what to believe anymore. So that doesn't work. What if you take out the second point? You gain all this knowledge, and you believe about who God is, right? But you don't remember all the ways that God has worked in Scripture, and you don't remember all the ways that God has worked in your own life. What happens then? What happens is you have a distant knowledge of who God is. You know about God. Yeah, I know. And yeah, of course I believe, but I still don't know if He cares about me. I still don't know if God is working in my life. That's what will happen. You kind of have a vague idea of who God is, but you don't see how God is working in your life. What if you take out number three? You have all the knowledge, you have all the experiences that you're remembering, but you still don't believe. Then you're a person that just doubts and doubts and doubts, and you say, yeah, God did all this, but then, I don't know, I still don't know. It doesn't work. What I'm sharing with you guys today is this is the basics of Christianity that we all need to go over and over to learn more about God, to remember how God has worked in our lives, and to trust in Him again. But still, there are times that we will complain, that we would forget about God, there are still these times that we say, God, you're supposed to be like this. But why are you allowing this in my life? I don't understand, God. There are these types of times also. And that's why I think the last verse is so important for us. This is what the last verse says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. The fear of the Lord. Now, a lot of times when people talk about the fear of the Lord, they talk about it in a way that's like this respect, this reverence for God. But when I read through the Old Testament, I don't think that's what it is. When God appears to people and people just end up fainting and falling on their face and they're just frozen, is it just I respect you, God? I don't think so. I think there's a real fear in there. And what is this fear about? This fear is God is God and I am not. I am not worthy to be in His presence. And I recognize that I am a sinner. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Once you have this correct understanding of who God is, you'll have a correct understanding of who you are. Then you will understand that you are a sinner. Then you will understand that you need God. Then you'll understand that you need to turn back to God and repent. Then you'll understand that God is able to save us and that we're able to have a relationship with Him. And you'll understand and you'll be able to have a relationship with God. Does that make sense? The fear of the Lord is the beginning where you understand God exists. He exists in my every moment of life. He is there. He sees me in my sin. He is there when I'm there alone. He's there. God exists. He's the powerful God. I need to know that He is God, and I need to be put in my place. I need to understand who I am. I'm just a person, a man. A human being. I'm the creature. He's the creator. Once you understand the fear and you turn to God, then you'll be able to understand His love. And when that love comes, love casts out fear. But it starts with the fear of the Lord. There was a time in my life where I really understood what the fear of the Lord was about. It was right after I graduated college, and I was a very legalistic person. I was one of those people that said, oh, you're listening to secular music? Oh, you're such a bad person. I can't believe you do that. Oh my goodness, like you're smoking and drinking alcohol, like what is wrong with you? You know, I was one of those people. And so I graduated college and I was invited to one of my first weddings. And it was someone from our church. And at their wedding ceremony, they had alcohol and people were drinking and all this stuff. And I couldn't help myself but just to judge those people, right? And I sat down with a brother from the church, and he was like trying to explain to me, you know. Basically what he said is, you're weak in your faith. You're the weak one because you don't understand that there's freedom in this. Anyways, he explained to me why it's okay to drink and all that stuff. I was so frustrated, and I lived in California, so I drove out to the nearest beach, and it only took me like 15 minutes, right? Drove out to the nearest beach, and I was all alone. There were no lights. It was dark. The moon was pretty bright, so there was lit up. I saw the waves crashing. There were clouds in the sky, and the moon was kind of going in and out from behind the clouds. And Because there was almost no one there, I was praying out loud and I was singing praises to God. And I was like, okay, God, I'm here and I really need to know the truth. I need to know if I'm right or if they're right. Am I right or am I wrong, God? And I was so frustrated. I was talking out loud. I was praying to God out loud. Every once in a while, someone would pass by and I would quiet my voice a little bit. And then I would get loud again. God, you know, show me. And I was like, if I'm right, it came to a point. I was like, if I'm right, God, show me a sign. And right at that moment, there was no sign, right? Right at that moment, a thought popped into my head. And the thought was, what if God really did appear before me at this moment? And I stopped, and I just heard the wind blowing and the waves crashing, and the waves sounded really like strong at that point, right? Really loud, powerful. And I just freaked out. Because I remember all those times God appeared in the Old Testament or any time God appeared in front of John in the book of Revelation. I know what happens. And it's kind of a scary thought. I thought, what if God really appeared? And I was like, oh, okay, God. You don't have to show me anything right now. From that point on, I really understood what it meant to have God be God and understand that I'm just a human being. I understood what it meant to have the fear of the Lord. I want to close with this. Whenever we do go through good times or bad times, I want to encourage us to get to know God through His Word. Again, community groups are a good place to start. Number two, remember what He has done. And number three, believe that as God has worked back then in your life and in all of Scripture, believe that He's the same God that is working in your life today. And this is how we will hold on to our faith. My charge today, may we all think and study and remember who God is, what He has done. Let's remember His covenant, His promises that we are His children, that we are loved, that our God is a just and powerful God, and He will make all things right. But remember, it starts with a proper fear of God, a proper understanding of who God is. And the psalm ends with, may His praise endure forever. His praises endures forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are God Almighty, that You are working in this world and that You are working in our lives. Lord, help us to remember that You did work powerfully in the past. In Scripture, You worked powerfully. In our own lives, You worked powerfully. Help us to remember. But not only that, Lord, help us to trust in You, to continue to believe in Your truth. Lord, I pray for all of us here, including myself. Lord, would You continue to change us and grow us? It's not by our own effort. It's only through how You work in our lives, by Your Holy Spirit. So Lord, may You do Your work in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.